Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dominicky at 720 WGN. This guy knows so much about movies. His nickname is Blockbuster. Daddy, what's Blockbuster? We'll get into that if we have to. He's Blake Stubbs, a good friend of the show. Welcome back to 720 WGN. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well. About ready to kick off my weekend, I guess, but with a good night's sleep. it's going great. I feel like the movies are on their way back. You know, I think last time we talked, that was the hope that
right.
It was gonna be the real deal, and I think we're on our way. I think a lot more money's got to get made, but with the cross-platform releases, both in theaters and also on streaming services, it's hard to tell like what's really making money. But I know that the numbers aren't looking terrible. So
you mentioned money. Do we have any idea how much the pandemic caused this movie industry in general? I know that's a tough number to come up with, but do we have any idea?
I've tried to avoid looking that up because it might scare me.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest with you, I know that the studios had a lot of stuff in the can already. Black Widow, which was just released, was one of those types of films. F9 was another one, which has currently grossed about $150 million or $155 million almost domestically. So, I mean, it's doing well in a theatrical run. And I think that the stigma of whether or not going to the theater is a problem is slowly dissipating as more and more people get vaccinated and it's becoming more of a normality, out there.
And so. You've been back into theaters, right? How was that?
Yes. Honestly, the experience has been fine. I haven't had the experience of being in an absolutely packed house yet, but I have been to multiple screenings over the course of the past, I think, couple of months. I mean, I got vaccinated months ago, but I was kind of hesitant to step back into that. And in the few occasions that I've gone, F9 was one of those occasions, I had a lot of fun. Some things are better seen on a bigger screen. And I think that if you can get out there and see it during its run, you should.
There's no question about that. There's no question about that. Yeah. What are some of your favorites that you've seen?
So far, I really did enjoy F9. I made the remark on Twitter before I went to see it that I actually could not recall anything after Tokyo Drift, and I had a couple of good friends catch me up, and it all kind of pieced itself back together once they laid it out for me. And then after seeing that, I had a blast. I mean, it's a really fun movie. There's things that are quite ridiculous, but like, it's all about entertainment. These movies are very much about entertainment. And when you remember how they were when they started to where they've gone or come to, I should say, this is a franchise that's evolved in a lot of different ways, some of it weird, some of it way funnier. The bigger names that get attached to it always build a little more intrigue. I really did enjoy that. I did see Black Widow, and I thought that was a worthy film of the Scarlett Johansson character that, fans have, grown to love throughout all the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of course, if you are familiar with the films, you understand what happened to the character in the Infinity War Endgame arc. But then getting her own film to sort of tie up and introduce us to some characters that I think we're going to see moving forward, particularly Florence Pugh's Yelena is going to be quite interesting, I think, to see her woven into the fabric of the ongoing MCU. And then, to be quite honest, like, her and David Harbour were very big draws for me in the film. I thought they were both quite good. It wasn't just the Scarlett Johansson show, although it very much was. I mean, she executive produced the film, starred in it, but she picked some good players to work with in the film. And I thought that it was a good, entertaining outing at the theater. Now, that's in more of the blockbuster style category of movies, but we're going to start seeing, I think, a few more things come out in the coming weeks that have been long awaited. So I know that, like I said, if the movies are back, we're going to start seeing stuff get actually put out. And that seems to be the case, at least over the next couple of months specifically.
Right. How about the 4th of July weekend, what was the big winner there?
The big winner on the 4th of July weekend, I think, was F9, if I recall correctly. I was trying to go back through the charts, and from what I could tell, F9 really did a number, and they pulled in, I think, about $115 million during that weekend. So they did very well from their first, that opening foray, because, you know, it had like the movies don't open on midnight at a certain time anymore. They kind of like creep into the middle part of the week, but then they have the whole weekend to ride out and really make all their money. So throughout that July 4th weekend, it was all F9.
Got it. Any big Oscar front runners so far with movies that have been out this year?
See, that's such a tough call, because I think that there have been things that I've seen that I really enjoyed, but I don't necessarily know that we're going to see them at the Oscars. Now, I know that you're going to hear a lot of, you know, quick reactions, because like the Cannes Film Festival just happened, and there's a lot of talk of certain performances and directors and films and certain films getting picked up. That conversation, I think, is really going to start to take hold in the next few months, and you're going to see a lot of releases that are going to be big time Oscar contenders here, because I don't think the Oscar contender release season is going to be any different. I think this blockbuster season in the summer, the tent poles and all that stuff, is going to bleed a little more into the fall than it usually does, because they're trying to get certain properties out. But when we start talking about Oscar stuff, like real contenders, I think we're going to see stuff in the November, December range. And then, of course, you know, like Netflix releases stuff all the time. So does Amazon Prime. So there's going to be certain performances to go back on and think about. I mean, if you go back to last year, we had The Five Bloods come out, and I think I joined the ranks of a lot of people who talk about movies that Delroy Lindo was one of the finest performances of the year, and he didn't even get considered for an Oscar. He wasn't even in the running. So that was very upsetting, at least for me as a fan of Delroy Lindo and that particular performance. But at this point in time, it's a little too wild card, I think, to say this is a surefire front runner. It's funny, the movies I've been able to sit down and watch that are new, I'm not even really walking away from them thinking, oh, wow, that's one of the finest things I've seen all year. But I can tell you that there are a lot more films that you have accessible to you right now because of a lot of the cross-platform releasing, some of the limited releasing that's coming out. Like HBO Max will run something for a short period of time, and then it'll leave the platform and then come back, but you can still go see it in theaters. It's kind of a weird time because we weren't really sure if the movies were back, but now I think they are. I'm pretty sure they are. I'm starting to see trailers for stuff that I'm really getting excited about. For example, The Last Duel, Ridley Scott's new film. I don't know if you've seen that trailer yet, Phil, but you might want to track that one down.
I have it. It's a good one. What's going on with that?
So it's a medieval story that takes place where a nice squire allegedly attacks his wife. And so they get into a blood feud, and essentially it comes down to Matt Damon versus Adam Driver in a battle to the death. But the film also stars Jodie Comer, who many will recognize from Killing Eve. I'm a huge fan of her on Killing Eve. So her getting her own like big film with a great director and an amazing cast, which also includes Ben Affleck and several other actors that I think I didn't quite catch all the faces in the trailer, but I know I recognized a lot of people. And I think that that's going to be a big release, at least for Ridley Scott. That might be something you see talked about come Oscars, to be quite honest with you, because it's going to be released later in the year.
Okay. So you mentioned HBO Max and Amazon Prime and Netflix. Is that a growing trend away from theaters? Do you see that as an issue for theaters in the future, or what do you think?
I think that it could potentially be, especially when, conversely, someone like HBO or Amazon Prime are just releasing these films, and if you're a subscriber, you can watch them. If you look at things like what Disney does, where Disney will take a film and release it to the public in theaters, but also release it on their platform, yet charge you a premium price, I don't see that really impacting the theater. In fact, for some, myself included, you know, I personally live alone. I'm not going to pay $30 to watch a movie, but I will pay $10 to go see it in a theater. However, for some people with families, it's a better bargain, you know, to pay $30 and have your snacks at home rather than plan a huge outing. So I don't know that the overall streaming crossover stuff is going to hurt theatrical releases. I do think we're going to start to see it maybe fade out in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they've locked in certain schedules and releases for certain films. And I know that certain filmmakers, for example, Denis Villeneuve, who is releasing Dune, did not want his film released on a streaming platform. He wanted it in theaters only. Top Gun Maverick is another film that is like that we're going to get later this year, I believe in November. So,
well, with Top Gun, you got to see that in the theaters, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, come on. Yes. Yeah. Especially this, because they've built, I mean, I'm a huge tech nerd, so I love learning about not only how they make the movies behind the scenes, I like seeing the gear that they build. And from what I can tell, the stuff that they've crafted in order to shoot a lot of the aerial photography for the film is all new, custom built, new types of cameras. It's going to be like unlike anything we've ever seen, or at least that's the pitch, right? Like, right. That's the hope, that we get to see some new type of imagery. And I think that given the emphasis on actual piloting that was going on in the movie, especially for the star, Tom Cruise, that I think we're going to see some interesting stuff. And yes, that is the type of film you want to see on the biggest screen with the best sound system. You don't want to watch that one at home.
Right. Right. So, one movie that I know we agree on that was on Netflix last couple times ago, we talked, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Man, what a great film that was.
Yes.
Oh.
That was a very enjoyable film that, when it was piled up against all the other Best Picture nominees, I didn't feel like it fit the bill, but I did remember enjoying watching it. I loved a lot of the performances. I'm a Sorkin fan. I'm always going to be a Sorkin fan. So I felt like he played his hits, the stuff I wanted him to do, so he did it. But he also told a very interesting story set in a very particular time of history that, for the time they released the film, I don't think there was a better time to release it, to be quite honest.
Yeah. So, very, very true. All right, we're with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs talking about movies. Hang on for a second. We're going to talk about kind of a bittersweet birthday next after this break here at 720 WGN. . 11:50, Phil Minicky on 720 WGN, talking movies with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Blake, first of all, thank you for joining us once again. We appreciate it. Always good to talk to you about movies. A bittersweet birthday that happened today. We have to bring it up just because of what he did, man. Philip Seymour Hoffman was born on this day in 1967. We've got to talk about him for a little bit, right?
He's one of what I would consider the finest actors of my lifetime, and his whole career took place so far in my lifetime. And sadly, he's been gone for 7 years, would have been 53 today. And even though he's been gone 7 years, I feel that if you go through his filmography, and even maybe do a little reading about his play acting, you would find that what a list of performances he left behind. You'd be hard-pressed to ever watch a film with him in it and not think his performance is as genuine and honest of an acting performance as anyone could give. And I think that, you know, the subtlety in a lot of what he did on screen, at least, he was really an actor's actor, because when you go through the whole career, you notice that there's certain films where he's the lead, and then there's certain films where he's a supporting character, and then he'll go back and then he'll be in something and he's only got a few lines. And again, he liked to act. That's the thing about, I think, that gets lost in translation with Hollywood stars or anything like that. Like, there are certain actors who that's all they want to do. And he even directed and he wrote and he did everything that an artist should do. And sadly, he did succumb to his demons, which he was very vocal about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever, you know, not on top of being a Philip Seymour Hoffman fan, but if you ever want to learn about acting, you could just learn a lot from watching him talk about it.
Right.
That's another interesting thing about him, I think.
His roles were so varied and so different, from Twister to Boogie Nights to Capote. He was nominated for Capote, wasn't he?
He won for Capote.
Yeah. I knew it was good, see? Hunger Games, Moneyball, Big Lebowski. I mean, the list goes on and on. If you had to pick one, what's your favorite, Blake?
You know, it kind of varies. I try not to cop out and do this, but I do this all the time when people ask me, what's your favorite thing that this person was in? It would probably be, honestly, I love his supportive work in Charlie Wilson's War as Gus Avrakatos. He's the CIA operative who he lights up every scene he's in. There are certain ways of him delivering Sorkin's dialogue that is just incredible. And I think that if you ever want to watch a truly nuanced, supportive performance, and I'm laughing thinking about certain scenes in the movie, you got to watch him in that. Now, if you want to look at certain things he did where he was a lead or a co-lead, honestly, Synecdoche, New York, his work with Charlie Kaufman is outstanding. And I would be completely remiss, honestly, Phil, if I didn't mention, just watch any and all of the things he did with Paul Thomas Anderson. Because I think that playing Lancaster Dodd in The Master will probably go down as his best to a lot of people. But at the same time, I mean, look at the stuff he did with anybody else. I mean, he was the lead villain in Mission Impossible 3, and I thought he was an outstanding villain. You know, in a Mission Impossible that isn't, you know, doesn't really stack up compared to the most recent ones or the first one. But I think his performance stands out. And, of course, Capote, where he was practically channeling. You know, it's almost on a level of acting that is beyond. Because I think that a lot of people sometimes get confused with what's impersonating and what is this and what is that. And
right.
No, he was on the verge of completely channeling Truman Capote. He understood the man, and I think that truly shows in the performance.
And then it goes to the other end in Boogie Nights, where he wore the small shirts, and it was just,
yes,
it was just, he was so uncomfortable with him, but he killed in that. So
we
remember Philip Seymour Hoffman today. We're with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs talking about movies. Who's the biggest movie star right now, would you say? It's got to be Cruise, right?
It's got to be Cruise. It's hard to say that it's never Cruise. I would say The Rock is very high on that list. He's got a movie coming out next week with Jungle Cruise. It's a Disney movie. And then there's also, you know, certain things, because movie star is such an odd term. Like, I feel like movie star or star is something that's like dying away, and a lot of people want to just be actors now. They don't want to have that profile. But if you want to ask, you know, certain things, I think Cruise fits that bill. I mean, as soon as Top Gun drops, and then eventually we're going to get Mission Impossible 7,
right?
It's going to be unquestionable.
Well, you bring up,
he's going to be the guy.
You bring up a good question. What's the difference between an actor and a movie star?
Oh, see, that's tough, because movie stars tend, I'm not going to say always, but they tend to be more about profile and look and certain shots and presence in movies, and they would never take a role like Brandt in The Big Lebowski, right? Like, they got to be the Big Lebowski, so
right,
to speak,
right,
or they have to be the dude. It's all about placement of them within the confines of a film.
Got it.
More often than not, movie stars started out as just an actor's actor, and then eventually something happened, and they got their big break. And someone like that I would describe as like Kurt Russell. But Kurt Russell does all kinds of things now.
Right.
You know, he's not just the star of his movies now. He's usually an excellent supporting actor in many things. So it's sort of like a dying trend of calling someone a movie star. You know, Will Smith, I think, is a good movie star.
Mm-hmm.
When Will Smith wants to be a movie star.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But I think Cruise is one of the last of a dying trend of profile. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, as an entertainer.
Right.
Because
right.
He gets it. It's all about big picture for him. He wants to make movies, and he wants to make them big, epic events. And we want to see him do crazy things on camera.
Sure, sure.
So.
Mark Wahlberg, he's got a new movie coming out.
Yes.
Joe Bell. What's the story with that movie? We're almost out of time. I got to wrap things up here soon. But I see this trailer, and this is the movie where he gained weight to be in, right? Is this the one?
He gained some weight, yes. So Joe Bell, as I understand it, is that he plays a blue-collar father whose son comes out as gay and is bullied mercilessly at school.
Right, right.
And the son, I believe, commits suicide. It's quite obvious that that's what happens when you watch the trailer, that the tragedy was very stark. for the family, and to sort of raise awareness of the plight that his son went through, and to hopefully not have any other youth go through it, he starts to do a cross-country journey of walking from one end of the country to the other.
Right.
And it's supposed to be this very heartfelt thing because he has these connections with the ghost of his son or the memory of his son. And it's supposed to be a good performance from Wahlberg. I don't know that critics are loving the film right now, but look, critics don't always decide everything. Okay, I'll admit that. I think that it's fair to say that if that is a story that you can connect with, you have to go see it and judge it on its merits on your own.
There you go. Very good. Very good. That movie's out today, I believe. Gary Sinise is in it as well, so that could be a good one to see. Okay, Christmas releases. Anyone big coming up that you guess you got to see? Top Gun, of course, right?
Yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home will be out December 17th. West Side Story, Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, is going to be releasing on December 10th. So when you're talking Christmas, that's the stuff. And Top Gun Maverick is November 19th. Okay. And they had pushed it. It was supposed to come out this summer, and they pushed it further into November. So that thing I said earlier about how the blockbuster season is going to kind of careen a little further, deeper move into the fall, early winter maybe, that's what we're going to see. So things like Top Gun Maverick we're going to see later in the year. But yeah, there's some good stuff coming. Matrix 4, December 22nd. I think everybody's excited in some way about that particular film.
Right, even though
we really know nothing yet. So
one last question for you, and it's a simple one. What's your favorite snack when you go to a movie? You popcorn guy, a Jujubee, what do you do?
I love good movie popcorn, but a bag of peanut M&Ms will go a long way if I don't feel the popcorn's up to snuff.
Very good. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, always a pleasure to have you on the radio here at WGN. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Blake.